following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland, from the home office here in Memphis, Tennessee. Still trying out the new thing there. I think it might, I think it's working. I don't know. Hey. So there we go. There we have it. Another sit-down moment here as we scream our way to the 200th episode. I don't know why we hang on to numbers like that, but I guess we do. It's milestones. Bits of achievement, perhaps an exit.
You're not going anywhere.
You're right. I haven't been going anywhere for about 6 years now. I kid. Really, it's been a tough go. There's certainly with that. We're in the midst of changing the format of this program a little bit, and as such, what we plan to do doesn't necessarily happen the way we want them to. And this episode is a prime example of that. But never fear, I think we've got some good stuff coming up very soon. So you know, when you make changes, things kind of it works. Whenever, whether it happens by the 200th, whether or not it happens next year, I can. This something very funny just happened in the studio. I sit down here to record this thing, and you know, I'm perusing the news before I do that, trying to get my thoughts together, I guess, trying to figure things out. Where am I going to go? What are we going to do? And a lot of times the dog Duke likes to hang out here in the studio with me. He lays here on the floor and he's comfortable. He's, you know, he's digging it. And I'm, 90 seconds into the damn thing, and he gets up and walks out of the room. He knows as much as everybody else. This show blows, man. What are you doing? I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to go, you know, lick my ass somewhere. Later. Meanwhile, there's an asshole cat that likes to hang in here, especially when I'm making some noise, when I'm playing some music. He tends to... There's a chair behind the where I sit, and he likes to sit there and listen to music, also while licking his ass. That's kind of what he does. Anyway, coming up on the program this time out, music from the band Leo. That's coming up here in just a little while. Such as that. I got out in public a couple of times since we've last spoke. It doesn't happen often. And what I mean by public, it's not like, you know, going to the grocery or, you know, running your errands or going to get gasoline or going to the store, whatever it is that you do. I mean, we all do that. I'm talking about going public. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, being at a place where there's people there that probably know you. Or have a vested interest in why they should know you, or you know, they have questions about what it is that you do, that who you are, and that's always an interesting experience, because you're meeting your public, you're meeting fans, you're running into people that are familiar with what it is that you do, and when that happens, you have to be. You know, you have to be cool. These are people who have devoted time to your cause, and when you run into these people, you understand immediately what is happening, and you have to exercise a lot of patience, especially when it comes. You know, they want to talk about where you're at. They want to talk about who they know that you know. They're it's like going to a place and they find out something. Like, see, I live here in Memphis, right? And somebody will say, well, hey, where are you from? I said, well, I grew up in Texas. Oh, Texas. Oh, wow. Whereabouts? I said, San Antonio. Really? San Antonio? I got a friend from there. Do you know Mike? No, I don't know Mike. I'm sorry. I know a lot of Mikes. I know a bunch of Miguels, too. Nevertheless, the questions that come from people now, and it's really quite fascinating, most of the people that I run into now, they will understand that I was at the other radio station, but now they don't really equate me with that, which is fantastic. I've been wanting to wash that stink off of me for a while. And it's come around. I mean, it, you know, everything happens in due time. And people are starting to learn about me through this show and through my work at Radio Memphis. And that's good. That's a good thing. And, you know, it makes me feel... makes me feel better. You know, it's like, you know, it's like with anything else, everybody wants a little validation as to, you know, hey, am I doing the right thing? Am I in the right place? Is the people that I talk to, are they understanding and fun? And yes, they are. And it's interesting. One such place, and I cannot really elaborate on, not yet, but it will be coming soon. I was involved in a production of some sort. That's going to be on it's going to be on national television, and I'm in it. Me and Diana Fryer are in it, and I'm in it a couple of times. She's in it with me on another occasion, and it was it'll be coming soon. And it was fun. It was a great experience. And I was talking to because when you're on those sets, when you're doing those shows, there's a lot of, you know, the old adage about there's a lot of hurry up and wait, which is true. And it's fine. You know what you're going, you know what you're getting into when you get there, you know. And everybody's nice and they're being accommodating. And we go in and we do the thing and everybody's happy with the way we were working. And this guy, one of the production guys, he says, it's nice working with people like you who are kind of professional about this sort of thing and know not to, you know, horse around. And I was like, dude, I get it. You know, everybody plays a part. Everybody has a job. And that's just it. There's not one that is really greater than another. There might be one where they're overlooking the others, which they kind of have to do. Not overlooking as in like forgetting about, but seeing over them, making sure that everything is going well and smoothly. And whatever it is that you do in this business is just like that. There's not, I mean, it's a team effort. Broadcasting is certainly that. Being an entertainer is that. Working in some aspects of showbiz is certainly a team effort. And as I mentioned, there is not one individual who is more important than another. Some people might say, well, that's not true because I'm so important that if I'm not there, then it's not going to happen. Bullshit. It doesn't really matter who you are. You can be replaced. And that's life, man. That happens everywhere. It's not just in show business. It's not just in the entertainment world. If you think for one moment that this world would cease to exist without your presence in it, that is not true. That is a cold, hard fact that a lot of people have had trouble learning. I've seen it happen. Hell, I've worked with people like that. And it's an unfortunate thing because you meet people and it's like, you know, the whole thing about meeting your heroes, which we'll get to that in a moment too. But when you're discussing the aspects of the business and you're working with people and it's like, look, you brought me here because of something that you needed me to do. I'm going to perform that to the best of my ability for you because I know that your job relies on that. So, you know, you trust me enough to do this. I'm gonna do my best to fulfill that. That's just being a decent human being. That's all there is to it. And I felt better about it. Of course I did. And it was very nice. We were done and we left. And I'm still in contact with some of these folks. They're delightful human beings. And I wish I could tell you more. As we get a little closer, we will tell you. So yeah, but it's going to be on national television. And it was cool. It was a great time. And I cannot say any more positive stuff about it because everybody was so nice and so professional and straight to the point. And it, on the surface, these sorts of things seem sort of silly. But when you put that behind you and realize, hey, this, I get what they're doing. It's a gig. This is a thing, you know. So let's not screw this up. All right. Have fun. Do it right and not screw it up. And boom. And look what happens. It's like, hey, people say nice things about you. And that's a good thing. So, yeah. And back to meeting the heroes, which happens when you are in public, you know. There's a bit of a trepidation, and I've talked about it briefly before, that there's always a little bit of nervousness on my end when I'm beginning to interview people. Somebody that I may admire their work, but I've never physically, personally met them. I'm just like, man, what, I like this guy's work or this girl's work or, you know, whoever. I really hope they're not an asshole. I really hope that I'm going to regret this experience. I don't want to have to do that. I don't want to regret this. And thankfully, over the years, I haven't had that too terribly bad. There were people that I would have, you know, would have given two shits to ever do again. But nevertheless, there have been those really exceptional people who are complete pains in the ass. And thankfully, like I said, I've been able to avoid that for the most part. But it does happen. And right now, what's going on in the world? Because one of the hot button topics in the world right now, of course, is the sexual assault allegations that are being thrown around in Los Angeles, in Tinseltown, in Hollywood. If you just go by some of the news that you're seeing out there, especially the, most of it is random and gossip, but you would think, and I think you're correct in assuming this, you would think that there's a lot of people out there who have trouble keeping it in their pants or keeping their hands to themselves. And it is, it's kind of alarming. And we're seeing names, people naming names, people talking, people, you know, of course, it all started with the Harvey Weinstein thing. I don't know the man, never met him, never talked to him. I've heard stories. We've all heard stories. Apparently, he's been a running gag. His proclivities have been a running gag in the business for years. And nobody really thought much about it. I had a conversation with, I'm not going to mention this lady's name. She's in the business out there and some other places. And I was talking to her about this thing because she wanted to do the show. At some point, she wanted to sit down and do this show and talk about it, but we had to delay that because she's still dealing with this. She gave me a peek onto the inside of what this is. I know that sounds filthy, but she gave me a kind of a look behind the curtains of this industry, and it's horrifying for these women that have, and these not just women, but mostly it's women that have become victims of this sort of thing. And what is going on out there is truly terrifying. And we've all talked about it. It's you know, the whole casting couch gag, and you know, it's cutesy, and you think about, oh, it's, and you're thinking in the back of your mind, certainly it's not like this. But apparently in some situations, in some extreme situations, that is the case. And that's upsetting. And it really is, because there I know people in the biz on a much higher level than I am, and they are working very hard, and they're all kind of like looking at each other like, what the hell? And I was talking to a friend of mine the other night about this very thing, and he and I were saying that, you know, he said to me, he goes, you know, it's kind of scary being a guy because you don't know. And I said, what do you mean you don't know? I know. You know, I haven't assaulted anybody. I've kept my decorum, I'd say, pretty well under control. And I think his fear was that there might be a woman out there that might be angling for something and would just, because it's all based on accusation. Now, I'm not saying what is being said is not true. It's just that sometimes, because it happens. There have been people who have made accusations that were not necessarily true. Granted, I think a good percentage of what we're seeing right now out of this whole mess, I think, is very true. I think there's a lot to it. Hell, Louis C.K. came out and said, yeah, it's all true. Yeah, I did it. I'm the ass. I'm the guy that everybody hates. And that's, you know, that's how that is. He fessed up to it. I don't know if that's a plan of or strategy or whatever it is the case may be, but he certainly owns up to it, and I guess I don't know if he should be applauded or be, you know, or what. I would assume being held accountable is high on that list. So, you know, there is that for sure. Nevertheless, there are people that are taking this, you know, far, far in extrapolation here by saying, you know, it's the great Hollywood purge. Not so much. I don't think it's that at all. It's just shining a light where it needs to be shown. It needs to be illuminated. People do need to talk about this sort of thing, and they need to understand that, you know, part of the problems that we in our society, especially in this country, is we've kind of lost our way in that aspect. There's still a pay gap in between genders. there's a lot of people who feel as though they are somehow under some sort of threat because of their gender. And it's unfortunate. It's not how that is. You know, and look, show business, I get, you know, you have to cast somebody who is, you know, like for the part. I need a blonde woman with big boobs. Okay, that's the way it was written, goddammit. That's why. And when that happens, it could play an integral part into the casting of the thing, but it also shows, well, that's just sexist, man. We can make that. It's like James Bond. Who said James Bond has to be, you know, a white guy from Britain? Yeah, it's the way it was written, of course. And that's all well and good. If the project that is being worked on for entertainment purposes requires a certain type of person, you get that person involved. But that's it. There's not this, hey, you really want this job? Blow me. You can't do that. See, there's the line. And that's the thing. It was the power that people wield over other people that made this whole scenario turn into what it was. And it was horrifying. It really is. And my friend that I spoke to recently, she really, like I said, she wanted to do this and she wanted to talk about it. But right now she's also dealing with a lot of scars. Because all of this is, well, why is that? Because I'll tell you why. What has happened is that people that were victimized by all of this are still, I mean, this may have been years ago, but it's coming back to light. It's being thrust into the realities of today. We're looking at this world completely different. And I think this is exactly the point of the whole conversation here. What happened back then is now being looked at through the eyes of 2017 and what's left of it. I mean, this year has been a wild year. It really has. Most of it dominated by that monkey in the White House. And it is, I think, a lot of the power and the abuse of the power has been greenlit by whatever dastard plan exists so that people can get away with that. I am a powerful human being, they'll say. And because of that, I can wield my power for the good or ills of... I don't know, man. I really, really don't. It's unfortunate that these things have happened. And what's making it worse is there's a lot of people that are being really rather unreasonable about it, especially in the media. And they're saying things like, well, they shouldn't have victimized themselves. Who the fuck are you to talk like that? Shouldn't have victimized themselves. You know, you blame the rape victim because she looks the way that she does, right? Is that how that is? You know, it's like those people in Texas that got shot in the church. Well, perhaps if they were all armed, it wouldn't have turned out that way. Really? Don't blame the victim, ever. It's dumb. It's just, it's insane to think like that. And it's tough. Now, as such, with all of that had come out, all these other names keep getting thrown around. And one such name that really kind of blew me away was Kevin Spacey. This is a guy that I really admired. I had really admired his work. He's a very talented man, very funny cat, a very great, just a fantastic actor. And he's a wonderful impressionist. And he just seemed like an overall good guy. Apparently, he had a dark side to him that he couldn't contain, and it got out. And that has become a problem. And of course, there's been, now make no mistake, too, there has been talk of people in the business that have been, you know, and I've been looking at this for, I don't know, past 18 months, I guess. And there's always been that running thing. There's a pedophilia problem in Los Angeles, in Hollywood specifically. Hollywood, you got to remember, even though there's a town, there's a place that's called that, Hollywood exists in a much broader sense, and I'm talking about the industry. But that there was a pedophilia problem in Hollywood. There was a sexual assault problem in Hollywood, and people didn't really pay that much attention to it until Harvey showed up and got caught. I mean, it goes further back than that. Bill Cosby goes way back. It goes way back in time. But now, like I mentioned, we're looking at it through the eyes of 2017, where the news cycle is 24 hours. Things happen, things break, things go. Right now, right this instant, we're consuming it like mad people. And now it's truly making it a little more difficult for the rest of us to want to meet our heroes. Because now we're forced to, I don't know, are we judging? So-and-so seems like a good guy, but, you know, it's, you know. And the rest of you out there, the guys especially, the men who think that they should be afraid to talk to women now without being accused of sexual assault, that means that you're doing it wrong. Seriously, you know, if you're that much of a troglodyte, you know, perhaps you should keep your mouth shut, quite frankly, because if you're afraid to talk to somebody on a professional or friendly level without having to, hey, look at my junk. If you're going to do that, if that thought comes to mind, please stop it. Just don't. These women don't want that. It's not, you know, I dare I say, it's not fair, because it isn't. And I mean, who's being, you know, unfair about this? It's men being unfair to women over this whole thing. You have to understand what it is that is happening here. And if you don't understand that, then you just need to stop, quite frankly. And you know, and that it's a harder burden. It's a larger, and it rightfully should be. It's a larger burden to be placed on the people who are in the business, like myself. When you're out in public, you know, you got to be careful that some of the stuff that you say could be taken out of context. I have to be careful as a comedian, because I might say something in public that I'm trying to be, to make a joke about or be humorous about, and something become taken wildly out of proportion. But see, most people get it, though. They understand me, where they say, oh, that's the way he is the way he talks, and that's, which is fine. But I have to tone that down, because I certainly don't want to be taken out of context for any reason. Nobody wants all that. Yeah, you just got to be cool. You got to act right. Don't get all handsy. Don't get all gropey. Consent is a thing. Kate and I talk about that all the time at Radio Buffett's in the Morning. Weekdays, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. How's that? Oh, radio-memphis.com. We talk about consent being a thing because she is also an entertainer who is a woman. She's a female in the business. And for some reason, there are men out there, sometimes other women, I guess, who feel that they can take advantage of this weaker person that they think that is in their mind, and that they will not say anything because they want the job so bad enough they'll do anything to get it. And that's not true. That's a stereotype that just does not exist, and it shouldn't exist. And if you think it should, then, man, you are barking up the wrong tree. Just that simple.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
Who knows which way the wind blows is a statement I've actually heard before from somebody that didn't seem to know what the hell they're talking about. Because really, who knows which way the wind blows? Stick your head outside and take a look around. It's, I don't know. And what they're talking about is they're saying that they don't know where the future is and where it's going, right? Well, and we don't. Necessarily, the best plans sometimes that we lay out for ourselves often don't come to the same fruition as we would expect them to be. We start at A, we're intended to wind up at D, and somehow we land over in F. It happens, and such you adapt and you keep going and you move along and you hope for the best, right? I don't know. It's who knows which way the wind blows, right? Yeah, some people make really dumb comments like that.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Yeah, kids, it's time for a tune. That's what it is. As we cruise along here on this episode from Radioland. Hope it's going well for you. Hope you've enjoyed this program so far. I appreciate it. Really do. I know your time is valuable. And if you like what you hear, please share it. Tell it to say, hey, check this guy out. He's okay in my book. You know, you don't have to say that I'm great. Just say that I'm okay. That'd be fine. I'm happy being just, you know, like the okayest guy in the room. I don't know. Let's get to a tune before I dig myself another hole. How about that? Garage music here in Memphis is a big deal. It's a Midtown tradition here for many, many, many years. Hey, the Box Top started that way, really. And we got a band for you. They're on the Makeshift Collection. We've been talking about that off and on throughout recent weeks here on the program. Got a band here called Leo Leo. The song, it's called Going Ben, and here it is from Radioland.
Oh,
Leo, Leo, Going Ben is the song here. It's B-E-E-N, by the way. Going Ben. It's weird. Going Ben. B-E-E-N. B-E-E-N. I know sometimes I get a little mush mouth and such. And there it was. Go find them. Support them. Go buy music. Support independent music. It's wherever it is that you are listening to this in the world. There's somewhere a struggling guitarist or musician or band out there who is just dying to entertain you. Go find them. Be entertained. And give them a couple of bucks for doing so. It helps keep the art, you know, moving along. It's just that simple. So there it is, kids. I'm done. I got to go. I got to get out of here. You've heard what's coming up next time on the program. I think, and as such, we'll just keep doing our thing, right? So in the meantime, please take care of yourselves, take care of one another. For God's sake, stop shooting each other, all right? We'll see you next time. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.